Hello, 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 and welcome to the edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to talk about the way in which YouTube censors content it does not like. And by censors content it does not like, I think this is worse than shadow banning. This is worse than targeting certain videos and suppressing them because of their broad subject matter. I think what we are seeing on YouTube is an immediate response by people with certain sympathies who work for YouTube, who are extremely angry and bitter about a certain ruling that has taken place at the UK Supreme Court this week that relates to this week being April the 19th, 2025, that relates to, shall we say, women's rights and the rights of female adjacent persons. I don't know how I can quite put it, but it's obvious there is a certain word and a certain series of words that are not to be used. I have noticed that anybody that has put out a video related to this is getting far fewer viewers than they would normally get. For example, History Debunked, a person who I have interviewed on The Jolly Heretic a few times, he did a video on this, and after a day, it got about 35,000 views. Now, normally, his videos on random political matters get somewhere in the region of double that, or at least sort of 40% more than that. Spiked has 137,000 subscribers, and after the best part of a day, their video on this issue has only 10,000 views, and it involved an interview with an extremely famous comedian. This is way down on what Spiked would normally expect to have for a video after such a period of time. And in my own case, the video that I put out on this matter received about half of the number of views that it normally, videos that I put out, tend to get. I mean, it was an outlier, a conspicuous outlier in terms of just not being watched by many people, despite the fact that in the UK, this is the issue du jour. This is what everyone is talking about, this ruling by the High Court, by the Supreme Court. And then if I looked at the level of engagement it received on Twitter, that was normal. That was, you know, more than normal. That were considerably higher. And in addition to that, YouTube were suppressing the number of views it even received. So they would state, when you go into the video and it says how many views it's got, they'd state what that was. And then I'd go into my analytics and it would be about 30% more than they were saying it was. So it seemed, well, saying it was publicly. So we have a clear suppression of videos on YouTube of this extremely important issue. Why? I can only assume just bitterness. Just individuals who work for YouTube, who are, of course, left-wing, because left-wing people are high in Machiavellianism. Because they are high in mental instability, and so if you're high in mental instability, you see the world as a dangerous place, and so you want to take power over it. And such people, I can only assume on the individual level, there's no way, it's not like they're trying to suppress, how can they suppress the information? Everyone knows this is happening. And it's not like they're trying to hide it from the Americans or something. I mean, everyone knows this is happening. So I think it's just a spiteful attempt to suppress videos that are essentially expressing a certain degree of pleasure, a certain degree of happiness. That this win for those that believe in objective truth and normality and science and things like that has occurred. So I would urge you to watch the suppressed video, and indeed in its original form. But failing that, I give it to you here with the key offending words bleeped out. Watch out, chaps. This is what late stage Soviet Union would be like. That's the feeling I get, that you know that those in authority are basically lying to you. You know those in authority are suppressing information. Everyone knows that, but I've and they're quite blatant in doing so. They just don't care. and the and but they, in a sense, they do care because they have to do this because things aren't going the way that they want them to go, and they fear the way that things will go in the future because this ruling is a sign, as the women in some of the women anyway who I interviewed stated, is a sign of things to come. It's a sign of a shift happening in the culture, and it is a shift that all those woke people over the last 25 years, really, who've nailed their colours to the mast of anti-truth, are obviously very concerned about. So, tally-ho.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. One of the leading campaigners for this sort of thing, Connie Shaw. Nina Power, who is a philosopher and journalist, Amy Gallagher, who is a campaigner particularly against the Tavistock Clinic. The Supreme Court in the UK has handed down a rather interesting ruling. This was that the Equalities Act 2010, when it refers to women, refers to biological women. And so I am interviewing various women, and by women I mean the traditional ones with gametes and breasts and vaginas, on this issue to see how they think about it. So Connie, can you explain what was the ruling yesterday and why is it so important?
It's coming to the end of the law and basically saying, you know, what is reality? Like, do men and women exist? The answer is yes. The fact that it took kind of 10 years and lots of wrangling and millions of pounds and lots of hundreds of people losing their jobs and many more being kind of savaged and attacked and accused of being Nazis and whatnot.
This ruling was about public bodies that were giving quotas for men and women on the boards of companies. So they were saying they wanted a certain amount of women, but then men were saying that they were women and then getting onto the boards of these companies.
So you could actually end up, under their version of the Act, having an entirely male panel, but if half of those men say that they're women or have a admission certificate, that would, under the Act, count as a 50-50 representation.
So Women for Scotland basically sued them and said that this was discriminating against women because it was a women's category, but men were entering into the women's category. And the way that they were doing that was that they were obtaining this thing called a admission certificate, which is something you can get if you have a diagnosis of and you have been living as the opposite sex for 2 years. And what it means is that you can actually legally change your sex, even if you haven't had any surgery or any made any changes in terms of your body. You can have it changed on certain documentations, including your passport and other things, that will say you are opposite sex. So a man would be put down as female on his passport and on other documents, and he essentially can then enter into women's spaces and so on. But today what it was, the ruling meant that actually if you have one of these recognition certificates, it doesn't mean that you are legally the opposite sex.
We've seen this crap pushed everywhere in schools, universities, you know, the NHS, the civil service, the BBC have been one of the worst offenders pushing this stuff out here. I mean, it's basically become the de facto ideology of the regime. It's not just enough that you go along with it, it's that you actually actively have to support it. And if you don't, you're like a bad person. You know, you haven't passed the loyalty test.
I very much doubt we'll ever be seeing politicians who have said this in the past, then going back on it. You have seen, there have been politicians coming out saying that they've always lived in single sex spaces when that's just not true. They're now pretending that they never said it.
It's all to do with this diagnosis of all of our laws have been sort of rearranged around this diagnosis. The profession of psychiatry are to blame for this. As a treatment, is not a good treatment, and it's been pushed, and our whole society has had to kind of reframe itself around this. And psychiatric diagnoses are just made up.
It was a lie from start to finish. The whole thing is a lie from start to finish. I feel, honestly, like we wasted 10 years. You know, this was a pointless, horrible deviation pushed by narcissists and sociopaths. And, you know, I was a leftist, for fuck's sake. And, you know, we used to believe in material reality. You know, the left at some point decided to become like ahistorical idealists and suddenly say, no, it's all about identity and individuals. And I was like, well, no, that's consumer capitalist logic, you know. But for some reason, they all jumped on board with this idea that you are what you say you are. It's annoying that a lot of this stuff has to be argued on the basis of women's safety. I think it should really have been argued on the basis of reality. You know, that this, it's just not true that you...
In everyday life, then, what effects do you foresee this ruling happening?
Yeah, it means that if men want to... So say if you have a sex, a women's category for sport, and a man who says he's a woman, or he even has a recognition certificate, or he's gone through whatever, he says, well, look, I am a woman, I want to enter the women's cycling, they are within their right to say no, because you're, whatever you've gone through, you are still biologically not a female.
Hopefully everyone who works in DEI and HR will be fired immediately. All these charities, in inverted commas, will collapse. I think in all seriousness, the women who are, you know, negatively affected by are the poorest women. They're women in prison who are shoved in cells with men, and there have been instances of that. Here and in other countries, also in America, it's women who train for sport who like dedicate their life to something, and then there's like some mediocre, you know, asshole of a man is like, no, actually, I'm just going to be a dick and you know, run this race and win or whatever. You know, we've seen a lot of men entering into women's sports. I mean, it just makes a joke of like everything, really. I think what it does mean is that, for example, in hospitals and so on, that the recognition certificate does not automatically guarantee, you know, the right to enter women's spaces. So the Equality Act basically makes it clear that in certain situations, biological takes precedence over the recognition certificate and over self-ID, which never came into law, thankfully. But basically, because we're having all these situations now, like in hospitals where people want to be on single-sex wards, or women want to be treated by female nurses, and doctors and so on. And also nurses themselves, there's a case obviously about using the changing rooms, right? So I think basically what it does is just give total clarity. So basically employers and other institutions can just say, look, no, this is a single sex space.
Well, I wonder why it happened though. The Supreme Court, it's this Blairite institution, presumably packed with left-wing judges. And so one would have thought that you'd lose this. Why do you think it's changed? Do you think it's sort of, they think, oh God, we better bring woke back a bit, it's gone too far, we need to stop revolution? I mean, why do you think they have done this?
When you say, why do they come to this conclusion? All the Supreme Court is doing is interpreting the existing law. They haven't changed the law. They've just clarified what the law is and always has been. They have just interpreted the law correctly.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they would lose, actually. So I was very surprised by the result. I think what they imagined was that if they ruled that the equality, within the Equality Act, under the category of sex, a man could be seen as a woman, I think that would actually potentially be so much kickback that people would, you know, totally, it would destroy the legitimacy of the Equality Act, given all the case law that's happened since 2010. So I think that they've seen, like, as you say, it's gone too far. And in order to maintain the Equality Act, they had to sort of strip it back, go back to basics a bit.
Yes. I mean, I think there's an interesting point about how these things are pendulum swings, but there's always an incentive, right? So Labour knew that they were losing a lot of women's votes. So we know that Mumsnet is a very powerful forum in the UK, this online message board for mothers and women. And that Labour had already tried to pull back a bit, like Wes Streeting and others had basically, you know, tried to rein in the extreme activist, far leftist position on this. Four votes, right? But I think the point about the Supreme Court judgment is it's like when something goes so far and somebody has to say no, do you know what I mean? Like someone has to put their foot down and say enough. Like the reality of this, the consequences of this, behaving as if sex isn't real, are visibly disastrous, you know, for everyone, but particularly for women in some circumstances and for children who are being and I think for the middle class, it's no longer fashionable to have a kid. I mean, poor these kids, right? But anyone who tried to raise the alarm, as we all did years ago, was obviously the bad guy for doing so. People have lost their jobs. People have been, like, blacklisted. People have been slandered. People have been all kinds of things, you know, death threats sent to women who said that sex is real and matters. I mean, I'm pissed off we wasted so much time. Like, this was all so stupid. And I think people's natural empathy and sympathy has been hijacked by people who are really pathological.
It's basically feminism. We give women power. Women get in charge of society. Women are super sentimental. Women are super woke. Women allow this situation where we have to the feelings of these have to trump everything else, and including objective truth. And then finally, daddy law comes to the rescue. Patriarchy has rescued women from themselves, and patriarchy means that an interest in truth and logic and systematizing and male brain means that women are protected from bad, pervy men once again. And that's all patriarchy has ever done. It has protected women through veiling and foot binding and whatever from bad, pervy men. So shouldn't you go and make me a cup of tea in the kitchen to thank us for the patriarchy? And patriarchy has now come to the rescue. So thank you, Ed. I will make you a cup of tea, two sugars. Connie, go and make me a cup of tea, two sugars, please, love.
Well, it's an interesting point. I mean, I've just come back from a celebratory party about this Supreme Court ruling, and it's quite an old bunch of people that go to these kind of general things. What you see is you see about sort of 30 or 40 kind of middle-aged, some often lesbian women, and then you see about 6 or 7 very masculine male serious lawyers, and everybody's celebrating the, you know, the women. And really, the male lawyers are the ones that have done all the work, you know. So I do see your point. I mean, it's it's women that have pushed this. It's a small minority of you know, men who are perverts and have weird sexual kinks, and a lot of women have enabled it because they have this weird, almost pathological compassion, which is just, they just want to accept anything and everything. So I do agree, and the law is. There are increasingly activist judges in the law and so on, but the law is daddy, isn't it?
Okay, I mean, I agree with some of that. I agree with quite a lot of that. And daddy law was my joke about, you know, where the buck stops, ultimately. I do think we wouldn't have gotten to this point had more good men stopped the bad men.
Oh, blame us! Oh, come on!
Listen, okay, look, like, women cannot police men. They can do lots of things to men, but they can't ultimately intervene. Like, let's say you live in a village and there's clearly a pervert. Like there's a guy who wants to have sex with your children, right? What are the good men going to do in the absence of law in this circumstance?
Kill him.
Right. So, okay, we've gotten rid of that possibility, right? We've become mature and civilized, and now we have law that is supposed to do those things for us, right? So we don't engage in direct physical vengeance or preemptive violence or eye for an eye or whatever. So, okay, my joke was about the sex of the law, right? Like, what does the law have a sex? Okay, this is a strange thought. But I think I do agree that women's natural agreeability, let's say, has been exploited and hijacked by horrible, horrible people. And I think there's a kind of confluence of things that fed into the thing. Some of it was actually to do with gay men and the kind of gay liberation stuff, which turned homosexuality into an identity. And then identitarianism became the name of the game. And then it's like, oh, well, how can I be more exciting? Well, I can have a new identity. Da, 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 da. Right. So a lot of this was led by men who have fetishes, including men, by the way, who get sexually aroused by frightening women, which is why they want access to, you know, to women's spaces, right? This is a known thing, right? Not just also, but men who actively seek out and to women to frighten, because that's what turns them on, right? This, like, I mean, the moment you sort of come to understand any of this stuff, your natural sympathy as a woman is somewhat challenged. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, well, initially I felt sorry for these men. I thought how sad that they were trapped in the wrong body or whatever. And they must be really sad if they want to become women. But then you realise, no, actually, it's not that. We're being taken for a ride. I think there is just this horrible confluence of things, individualism, the gay rights stuff, the natural sympathy of women. I do agree, most women will sacrifice truth in the name of social harmony, right? There's a very few women who are like disagreeable and autistic and truth seeking. They do exist, but they're rare. And most women will try to make things better. And when that's hijacked by pathological types, this results in sympathy for the devil, and Daddy Law has to step in.
I think that's, I mean, I understand your interpretation of it, but I don't have the same interpretation, because I think that the women, the people who've been leading this campaign, have been women. So to say that they want to reintroduce the patriarchy, I don't agree with that. I don't think that analytical thinking is a inherently male trait. That's what has got perhaps, but I don't think it is inherently male. It's not that women cannot think analytically. And that sort of myth has got us in this situation in the first place. It was women were oppressed on the basis of their sex due to false stereotypes of what the female sex was like, which was why women were not allowed to vote, because it was thought that they couldn't think rationally. For example, one instance of where women weren't treated equally in society. But because of the history of sex-based oppression in second wave feminism, lots of women almost felt reluctant to even acknowledge the fact that they were female. I mean, even Simone de Beauvoir said that the word female had become basically derogatory, and she didn't like using the word female because it, even sort of acknowledging the fact, I mean, she didn't say this, but my analysis of it is, even acknowledging the fact that women are different to men perhaps gives ammunition to men to suggest that not only are we different, but that justifies women not having certain rights that men do. And so that's where, in some ways, second wave feminism could be said to have opened the back door to activism, because they significantly downplayed the fact that there actually are biological differences between men and women, because they didn't want it to be used as a justification for them not having equal rights.
I'd like to thank Nina for coming on. It's been most violently interesting, and I will see you all soon, chaps, and tally-ho, and goodbye. Well, thank you, Amy, and good luck with the future fight against insanity. And tally-ho and goodbye.
Bye. Thanks, Ed.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Connie. And congratulations once again. And I think, you know, your hangover is more than justified, considering the extent of this victory. And tally-ho, and see you all soon, chaps. And goodbye.
Are you ready for the future of the West?